In the heart of Norway, a dark secret lurks, cast into the shadows of history. It was winter, the lake was frozen. Fluberg, a sleepy village, suddenly became a crime scene. The victims, a total of 8, were brutally murdered with an axe. The community was frightened and uncertain. Who was the murderer? Then clues emerged. A name was whispered, sending shivers down the spine. Niels Narum's eye. Niels, a man known yet unknown. A wolf in sheep's clothing, a serial killer. To this day, the echoes of his deeds resonate. They are part of Norway's dark history, which we uncover today. Join me on this journey into the past. Immerse yourself in the murderous paths of Norwegian history. I'm once again broadcasting from snowy Norway. Today I want to share a story that unfolded in 1833 in close proximity. Niels Narum's E, one of the most infamous serial offenders who wreaked havoc in the beautiful Randsfjorden area of Fluberg. Even today you can visit the house where he was imprisoned until his execution at the Landsmuseum in Doka. My primary source for this information is the article by Bent Tanstad, published on April 19, 2019. Additionally, I gathered insights from the Randsfjord Museum, where I had a guided tour and accounts from local residents. As always, you can find the complete list of sources in the episode description. Enjoy listening. The Executioner Who Emerged from the Cold. The condemned man has placed his head on the block. Behind him stands the aging executioner with a raised axe. His hands tremble visibly. Over 2,000 people stand in complete silence as the priest recites the Lord's Prayer. The mild September air vibrates with tension. Then the executioner strikes. It becomes a bloody spectacle. The executioner, with his trembling hands, misses the mark. A cry goes through the crowd. He tries again with the same result. Several spectators faint, while others turn away in disgust. Then on the third attempt, he still misses. It's only after the fourth blow that he succeeds, but just barely. It was only after the fourth blow, followed by the beheading with the axe, that he managed to separate the head from the body, which was then handed over to the burning pyre, as reported in a newspaper a few days after the execution. This marked the end of the life of Niels Nielsen Narumsbakken, a 25-year-old father of toddlers, also known as Narums Eie. He was the worst mass murderer in Norwegian history since the Viking Age. The memory of Narumsbakken, or Murderer Niels as he is locally called, still lingers in the villages along the Randsfjord. When, like me, you move to Norway, to the small village of Doka, this is one of the first stories you hear. I'm telling you this story now. Outside, a storm is howling. I'm sitting with thick socks and a blanket in front of a cozy fire, narrating the tale of the murderer Niels. The murderer Niels emerged from the cold, seeking revenge and searching for a pocket watch. Niels had a poor reputation in his hometown. People called him vengeful and a thief. The villagers believed he was well versed in both revenge and theft, and he owed that to his mother, who also had a questionable reputation. Modern houses have now replaced the courtyards that once stood there. The location is picturesque, overlooking the Randsfjord, the fourth largest lake in Norway. It's hard to imagine that this is the scene of one of the worst crimes in Norwegian history. I live a bit above the end of Randsfjord, and can look down where the fjord is beautifully nestled in the valley. From the road, we gaze into a snowy wooded area. 3 to 4 meters into the forest, there is a pit or depression in the ground. Right there stood Canton's farm. There are still remnants of the walls at the site. In an article I found, the current owner is mentioned to have dug a bit there and uncovered bone fragments. I assume that the bone remnants of the murder victims were buried in consecrated ground. But there is reason to believe that Niels Narumsbakken's body was burned on the remains of the farm. He was never buried, so the bone fragments found there could be his, or they could also be remains of animals. Pastor Hermann Meldahl in Fluberg passed away in the autumn of 1833. When the so-called grace year for the widow ended the following autumn, and she had to move out of the parsonage, an auction was held for her belongings. As was customary at auctions during that time, there was plenty of beer and schnapps, and as often happens when alcohol is involved, some drank too much. One of them was the cabin man Niels Rodnesai. When he awoke the day after the auction, he no longer had his valuable double-locked silver pocket watch. Rumors circulated in the village that Niels Nielsen Narumsbakken had taken the pocket watch. As Narumsbakken was a soldier, the theft was reported to the colonel of the land. Lars Ostensen Rodnes of the Canton Farm showed great interest in assisting the authorities in finding the watch. The author Torgrim Sornes, who addresses cases like these in his book Onskap, Evil, refers to Rodnes as the self-proclaimed Sherlock Holmes of Ransfjord. He was said to have been unusually zealous in his service and managed to find the watch. In the ominous night at the Canton Farm, the foreboding secret of a stolen pocket watch weighs heavily. The elusive Niels Nielsen Narumsbakken had sold or traded the watch to another man in the village. It didn't take long for the cabin detective Lars Rodnes to solve the case. Lars Rodnes lived with his wife and three children on Canton, but he also had at least two children outside of wedlock. The struggling 40-year-old had enough financial troubles. Perhaps it was the hope of a reward that made him so zealous in his duties. In any case, he was tasked with safeguarding the pocket watch until the case against Narumsbakken was tried. The pocket watch weighed heavily on Niels Nielsen Narumsbakken. He had already committed several thefts, and if convicted this time, a lengthy imprisonment awaited him behind prison walls. How could he seek revenge against the amateur detective and retrieve the pocket watch at the same time? There was said to be an odd relationship between Niels Narumsbakken and Lars Rodnes even before the incident with the pocket watch. Now, the animosity escalated, evolving into blind hatred for Narumsbakken. This hatred now overshadows everything in the life of the cabin man on Narumsbakken. The only thing on his mind is revenge and how to prevent the pocket watch from becoming evidence in a trial that could send him to prison. On the Canton farm, eight people lived, four adults and four children. Among them were Lars Ostensen Rodnes, his wife Ellen Marie, and their three children Ole Andreas, 5, Marie, 2, and Karen, 3 months. They were what you might call a subtenant family that had rented a place with the actual family. In Niels's mind, a devilish plan was taking shape, one that would lead many people to their deaths. The actual family on Canton consisted of the grandfather Peder Mikkelsen and his wife Inga Maria. They were childless, but had a nearly 10-year-old girl from the other side of the Ransfjord with them. Helen was somewhat of a foster child. The subtenant family had an even lower social status than the actual family. Around 10 p.m. on January 21st, most people on Canton had already retired for the night. In the countryside, people went to bed early. Only the mother of the toddlers, Ellen Marie, was still awake. Suddenly, she heard the crunching of snow outside the house, and a man entered the door without knocking. The man stood at the door with his hat pulled down, making it impossible for her to recognize him. She offered him to come in and warm up, but the man didn't respond. She asked where he came from. He replied that he had come across the ice from the other side of the Ransfjord. After a while, he left, muttering something unintelligible. Now, Lars Rodnes had also awakened. He wondered who was inside, and according to the author Per Hole in the book Der Ente Paskafotet, the following exchange took place between the couple. Who was that? I think that was Niels Narumsbakken. Oh, really, do you believe that? Was it that scoundrel who didn't come with good intentions? The couple told several neighbors about it the next day. In the dark of night, Niels Narumsbakken returned to Canton 2 evenings later. Under his coat, he concealed an axe borrowed from his brother. Before heading to Canton, he quickly visited the Lovlien cabin along the roadside. It is unclear why he passed by there. At 10 p.m., everyone in Canton had gone to bed. Narum Sparkin peeks through the kitchen window and sees that everyone is in bed. He checks the door, and it is unlocked. The mysterious visit 2 evenings earlier didn't prompt them to lock the door. He creeps across the floor, where he knows Lars Rodnes and his wife lie. He raises the axe and lands a powerful blow on his arch-enemy's head. There are various versions of what happens next, but according to court records, Rodnes is only stunned by the blow and manages to get up. Narum Sparkin watches as Lars Rodnes, barefoot and nearly naked with blood on his face, flees from the door and falls into the snow. Full of fear and shock, he desperately runs through the deep snow down to the Randsfjord. However, the younger and more agile Niels Narum Sparkin catches up with him. A life-threatening fight ensues in the snow. Lars desperately tries to grab the axe, but he cannot outsmart the attacker. 1. The murderer leaves Rodnes lying in the snow and returns to the house. Inside, he looks into the bed of the older couple. Petter is gone. Has he managed to escape? Narum Sparkin finds him neither in the kitchen nor in the living room. He strikes a match to make light and proceeds to the chamber, a room next to the kitchen. It doesn't take long until he sees Petter. He is huddled in a corner, full of fear. He pleads for his life, but there is no mercy in Niels Narum Sparkin. The response is a deadly blow with the axe to the head. The two women still lie in their beds, completely shocked. Narum Sparkin first strikes the younger Ellen Marie. Then he moves to the other side of the room, where the 70-year-old Inger Maria weeps and pleads for her life. The avenger from Narum Sparkin responds with a targeted blow with the axe to the head. Now the four adults are dead, and it's time for the children. The two youngest children of Lars and Ellen Marie, Mary at 2.5 years, and Karen at 3 months, lie in the same bed as their parents. Soon, the murderer has their lives on his conscience as well. He moves on to a cot in the kitchen. There lies 5.5-year-old Ole Andreas. He shares the bed with Helen, who is almost 10 years old, but she is not in the bed. The little boy is an easy target for the towering cabin man. So, only the 10-year-old girl, Helene, the foster child, remains. He finds her quickly. There aren't many places to hide in the kitchen. The frightened child looks at the murderer with large, tearful eyes. According to the book, De Endpaskafote, the following is said between them. "I know you, Niels," the girl says to him. "You don't know me," he says to the girl. "Oh yes, I know you, Niels," she replies. The story goes in the village that Narum Sparkin initially wanted to spare little Helene, but he changed his mind when she said she recognized him. Then he raises the axe against her too, the 8th victim on the Canton farm. His plan is to make the massacre look like an accident. The murderer ensures that everyone in the house is dead. Then he goes into the snow and retrieves the body of Lars Rodnes, the man he hates above all. He throws the dead man onto the bed, where the woman and the 2 youngest children lie dead. The fire in the fireplace is still burning. The flames may cast an eerie light in the kitchen, and the movements of the dying fire create shadows on the wall. Niels Narum Sparkin has a plan to follow. He needs to erase the traces of the struggle with Lars Rodnes in the field in front of the house. He breaks off a birch twig and sweeps snow over the bloodstains. He takes in what he can see in the moonless night. Hopefully more snow will come soon, he hopes. It's past midnight, and the 24th of January marks Niels Narum Sparkin's 25th birthday. At home on his farm, he has a wife and a little girl of about 1 year old. His parents also live on the property. He also has an illegitimate child with a girl from the village. He probably doesn't think about his birthday now. It's about finding the pocket watch. He searches everywhere, in the house and in the shed, but he doesn't find the watch. He gives up the search, but grabs what valuables and cash he can find before moving on to the next step in his plan, setting fire to the old log cabin. Niels Narum Sparkin has executed his plan. It's time to go home. It's 5 kilometers from Kanten to Narumsbakken. According to local historian Terje Nordrock, it was said in the village that he walked backward in his own footsteps until he reached the main road. The flames have a firm grip on the dry wooden walls. Soon, everything will be burned down, and it will look like an accident. Niels is tired when he comes home. He goes to the stable and hides the stolen goods before entering the house. Here, he washes thoroughly before waking up his wife and asking her to prepare food. Before lying down, he demands that both his wife and mother, if asked, should say that he was at home last night and tonight. At 5:30 in the morning, people on the Rodness farm are awakened by a bright light. There is great commotion as they see flames and smoke rising above the spruce tops between the farm and the cabin site. There is no doubt that Kanten is on fire. The adults in the house quickly get dressed and rush down to the cabin site. The flames are high. The fire already has a firm grip, especially from the chamber window and the roof window. The entrance door won't open. They break a window, call for Lars and Peter, but no one answers. They desperately try to extinguish the fire, but have to give up. The house is engulfed in flames. People from neighboring farms arrive, but there is little they can do. For a while, it seems like the outbuilding might also catch fire, so the neighbors begin to empty it. Afterward, they speak quietly with each other. They assume that all 8 people in the house perished in the fire, but it's strange that no one came out. After all, several beds were not far from the windows, and everyone slept on the ground floor. When the neighbors leave Kanten in the morning, they are certain that it is a fire disaster resulting from an accident. No one thinks that the burning inferno could be the result of a desperate act of revenge and the pursuit of a pocket watch. Under the snow in the forest, the remains of the Kanten cabin site still lie. The house was never rebuilt after the massacre and the fire. Niels Nielsen Narumsbakken wakes up in the morning and behaves as usual. According to court records, he stayed at home that day. In the early evening, a young girl comes to the cabin site and tells about the terrible events that happened at Kanten. Narumsbakken, apparently shocked by what he hears, says, "This must be the worst disaster the people in this village have ever experienced." In the afternoon, the ashes at the fire site have become cold enough to enter. The neighbors gradually find the charred remains of the 8 people who lived there. Even now, no one thinks that the cause of death was anything other than the fire. The next day, Niels Narumsbakken sets out across the Randsfjord to visit his sister on the other side. In the village, it's said that when he left from there and descended the hills to the fjord, his sister remarked that it looked like he, Niels, no longer had a head. 3 days after the fire, 2 men searched the burned area for something, likely the pocket watch, which was supposed to be the main evidence in the case against the thief Niels Narumsbakken. Since the fire, there has been no new snowfall. The 2 discover footprints and bloodstains from the stairs into the house and on a field leading down to the Randsfjord. There are distinct footprints of 2 people, one with unusually large shoes and one who was barefoot. The tracks end in a large pit in the snow, a clear imprint of a human body. Around the pit, the snow is full of bloodstains. They also find bloodstains on a tree, and there are traces of someone attempting to sweep snow over the worst bloodstains. On the tree trunk, there is also blood and traces of bloody hands reaching for a pair of branches. They immediately report it to the sheriff, and then things move quickly. The word spreads from farm to farm, from cabin site to cabin site. Soon the whole village knows about the discovery at Kanten, and now there is no doubt that the fire was set to cover up a terrible deed, and few doubt who committed the deed. Niels Nielsen Narumsbakken is arrested in the afternoon of the same day, the 26th of January, 1833. It was the chief of the Landskompani who ordered that Niels Narumsbakken should be put in chains. Bailiff Meinick ordered the search of the cabin site. While they didn't find the stolen goods, they found a pair of shoes that matched the footprints around the fire site perfectly. And the shoes belonged to the sturdy Niels Narumsbakken. Niels Narumsbakken, a tall and powerful man, stands at the gate of the burned ruin. He looks at the charred remains of what was once a home. Mother Berta Narumsbakken swore that her son was at home on the evening of the fire and the following night. However, the husband responded without batting an eye that he was not at home and added that he had seen him carrying a leather wallet with 6 thalers. People who knew the residents of Canton were sure it was Lars Rodnes's wallet. He had received the money a few days before the night of the murder. At first, Niels Narumsbakken denied any knowledge of the crime, but he lacked a credible alibi. With each passing day, the soldiers guarding him noticed a change in his behavior. The evidence against him was mounting. Soldiers observed that he became increasingly withdrawn and deeply unhappy. On the 3rd of February, he laid his cards on the table. He, and he alone, was responsible for the terrible crime at Canton. Perhaps at that point, he understood that there was only one way out of this situation. Narumsbakken was sent to prison. On the 3rd of February, 1833, Niels Narumsbakken confessed to Premier Lieutenant Jacob Zegler that he was responsible for the crime at Canton on the 23rd of January of the same year. A combined commission was appointed to investigate the case more thoroughly and at the same time render a judgment. Mother and son were charged in the same legal proceedings. It was a combined court-martial and civilian court since Niels was a soldier and his mother was not. In the proceedings, Narumsbakken received commendation from the military, but the pastor did not have much positive to say. From youth, he has shown an evil disposition in various ways, manifesting itself in a tendency toward theft as well as a penchant for hatred and revenge. Among his fellow citizens, he is known as a person of ill repute. In the courtroom, Niels Narumsbakken was calm and willingly answered all questions. He confessed to the 8 murders, but denied being in Canton 2 evenings before the deed. He also stated that he had planned to kill Lars Rodnes, but not the other 7 in the house. He was sentenced to the loss of his neck and subsequent burning, as well as ordered to pay compensation of 40 lots of silver or 20 thalers to the victims and the same amount to the state treasury. Niels Narumsbakken sits in the Akershus fortress until the 1st of September. On that day, he is transported by a military escort to his hometown. The execution is to take place near the site where the brutal murders occurred. A scaffold is erected on a small hill about 100 meters from the location of the former house. Here, Narumsbakken is set to lose his neck at 10 in the morning on the 7th of September. Before boarding the carriage at the Akershus fortress, he asks a soldier to buy a bag of cookies. These are to be given as a farewell gift to his wife and 1-year-old child back home in Narumsbakken. The old executioner Anton Ladle from Christiania will carry out the execution. Over the years, he has beheaded many people, but now he's an old man, his hands trembling with strength. That was the story of Niels, the murderer. In Dokka, there is a small forest museum where old Viking houses with green grass roofs, old schools, and an entire village have been reconstructed. Also, Niels Narumsbakken's prison is there. The museum offers performances in the summer, and you can even take a guided tour around the murderer Niels, including a visit to his cell. I myself had taken this tour since I had already heard so much about the history. The cell was simply furnished with a bed and a table. You enter an old wooden house, climb an old staircase, and finally reach the cell, which has a thick oak door and bars on the window. Deep scratch marks from fingernails can be seen on the wooden table. Despite the splendid weather in the idyllic forest museum, the atmosphere in this house was dark and morbid. The feeling was so uncomfortable that I wished to quickly leave this house and step into daylight. I hope you enjoyed the story based on true events. Until next time, stay healthy and safe on Murderous Paths.